It is my distinct pleasure today to introduce our speaker, Pastor Karen Liddy. Pastor Karen has been ministering at Peace Lutheran Church. It'll be 4 years in January. Pastor Karen did her undergrad at Capital University, I believe an art major, correct? And then she went off north to Yale and did a master's in religion and then came back to Ohio to do her MDiv at Trinity Lutheran Seminary in Columbus. So she is local. She has been working at, as I said, Peace Lutheran Church for the last 4 years. Her husband, Randy, is also an ordained Lutheran minister, and he's in Brecksville. So they live in Medina and in the morning go separate ways to minister and come back together, and they live a very busy life. More specifically to myself in this community is that Pastor Karen has, over the last year, become pastor to my wife, Lori, and I. I began sneaking into Peace Lutheran over the last couple of years now and then and really enjoyed Pastor Karen's preaching, and so eventually Lori and I just found home there. And so today, it's my pleasure to invite her up and here to our chapel on our campus to speak to you. And I'm sure she has something very wonderful to bring out of this very tangled genealogy. So, Pastor Karen.
So that was quite a list that we just heard, all of those names. Some of you might be wondering exactly what kind of gospel lesson is that, and with good reason. This text isn't one that's actually included in the Revised Common Lectionary, so for lectionary folks, we never hear this one in church. And I doubt that it's a widely sought after reading for those who don't follow the lectionary, because why would it be? This huge list of names. There's no miracle, no parable, no dialogue, or any kind of plot for us to follow. It's just a long list of crazy names. So the reason that we're hearing this today is because I got to choose the gospel reading for this morning, and I chose it. And I promise it's not just because I wanted to see if one of the professors could pronounce all of those names correctly. There's one thing that I always tell my readers on Sunday morning: just pronounce with confidence and people won't know the difference. Unless, of course, you happen to be speaking in front of a bunch of seminary students and professors, in which case at least we have grace. So back to why. Why read this passage today as our gospel reading? Well, we're New Testament people. People of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, proclaiming God's love for all humanity through the saving act of Jesus' death and resurrection. And as Christians, if we pick up a Bible and open to the very first chapter of the very first book in the New Testament, this is what we encounter. These are the very first words of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we think about a person who has never encountered the Christian faith, someone who wanted to learn what being a Christian was all about, if they picked up our New Testament and started at the beginning, these verses are the very first ones they would encounter. It's an odd way to start things off, this genealogy, leaving us to wonder, what's the point? Why begin a gospel with a long list of names? Yet we say that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, permeates every part of our scriptures. So even in this long list, this odd list of names, there is an important message to be heard. It is quite an odd list of names, filled with some rather interestingly colorful characters. Some of them we easily recognize, others not so much. But in this list we hear the name Abraham, whom God promised to make the father of many nations. Abraham, who also lies about his marriage to Sarah and passes her off as his sister in an attempt to deceive some rulers he encounters. Twice. Abraham also fathers a son with his wife's servant, and then banishes said servant and son at his wife's behest. Jacob is a part of this list. Jacob, called by God and named Israel, the father of an entire nation, who also steals his brother's birthright by deceiving his father, and later swindles his own uncle. Judah is mentioned, one of the sons of Jacob. One of the 12 tribes of Israel is named for him. He also was willing to sell his brother into slavery and had some rather questionable dealings with his own daughter. King David is on the list, a powerful king chosen by God who has a man murdered so that he can marry his wife. This is after an already failed attempt to cover up the fact that David got her pregnant. Rahab makes the list and was a harlot. Ruth was a foreigner. Manasseh makes the list even though he made his own children walk through fire. A man named Amon is part of our genealogy, even though he flat out rejects God. So what do we make of this long list of bizarre names? Where's the good news amongst all these colorful characters, if we were to put it nicely? And the answer to that question comes in the very last verse. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. This genealogy, this list of names of people with questionable character, it leads to Christ, our Messiah. It's quite the family tree Jesus has. And what we find is that we all are not so unlike this genealogy that begins our New Testament, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. We all are some pretty colorful characters ourselves. We've all had moments in our lives and will continue to have moments in our lives that we may not be particularly proud of. Things that make us ashamed and maybe even make us feel like we're not good enough. Because make no mistake, each and every one of us is a sinner. We've messed up, done things wrong. And so despite our best intentions and efforts, we will continue to do so. As we begin the month of September, with you all beginning this new school year here at Ashland Seminary, whether it's your first year here, your last, or somewhere in between, you have plans for this year. Plans for how well you'll do in your classes, plans that you will, in fact, survive Greek, plans for the future of your ministry that you will be a part of, being a part of God's greater mission, workers in God's kingdom. I'm just 3.5 years into my very first call, and it doesn't seem like all that long ago I was sitting where you all are with my plans for the future, my plans for ministry. And with only 3.5 years under my belt, I can tell you that whatever wonderful plans you have, however diligent and committed you are to your ministry, at some point, at many points even, you're going to fail. You'll make mistakes. And unfortunately, those mistakes will hurt people. They'll make you question what you're even doing. But the truth of the matter is, the true and utter good news that our gospel reading has for us today is it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay because as Christians, we know that our path, this journey that we are on together, like the genealogy from Matthew, is full of colorful characters, including ourselves. But all of the mistakes and missteps that we will make, Our journey ultimately leads to Christ. Our path ends in Christ. Christ, our Messiah, Christ who saves us despite our sinfulness and despite our individual shortcomings. As Christians, the kingdom of God is our end game. The kingdom of God stands at the end of our journey together. And as the body of Christ, God uses us, sinners that we are, to work Christ's mission on earth, to show this very good news that God loves and forgives all of God's children. And as the body of Christ, we journey together through both the ups and the downs, rejoicing with one another in moments of celebration, supporting one another in those difficult times, and forgiving one another when we miss the mark. Because we all are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are here to do the work of Christ. We are here to be the church, to be God's hands in the world. In a lot of ways, I've come to think about this work of doing ministry in the church in our world as being a lot like stepping up to the plate at a baseball game. Sometimes you hit it out of the park, and it's awesome. Sometimes you hit a grounder to first. Maybe you can stretch it into a double on a good day. But there are other times, many other times, most of the time, where you miss the ball completely. But no matter how the game goes, God promises us new life in Christ. And God will deliver. God's promises will be kept. Today's gospel reading, that long list of individuals who are very far from perfect, that list is us. We are the Abrahams and the Jacobs, the Tamars and the Davids. We lie to one another and even to ourselves. We take what isn't ours. We hurt the people that we're supposed to love. We can be selfish and short-sighted. But reading through Jesus' family tree reminds us that despite the fact that we may be a little less than worthy, we have been justified. We have been declared worthy by God through the grace of Jesus Christ. We all have a role in the life of God's church and a place in God's kingdom with fantastic gifts to share as we journey together on this path that ultimately leads to Christ. And God will be there with us, no matter what. God will be there forgiving and renewing us again and again so that we can likewise forgive and strengthen one another as we continue to share in the great promise and the greatest story ever told. Blessings to all of you, workers in Christ's vineyard, for the year ahead and for your coming years in the ministry with Christ. Amen.